This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You're listening to the Patriot Nation Podcast.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Patriot Nation Podcast, of course, brought to you by Prize Picks, which is the official daily fantasy sports app of CLNS Media. Download the app today, put in the code CLNS, and they will match your first deposit 100% up to $100. Welcome in today. It's your boy Pat Lane here with my guy, Matt St. Jean, as always. And it's a very special day today. Today is the day in New England, or certainly in Massachusetts, that everyone in the world, or everyone at least in the state, thinks that they can run a marathon. They're like, hey, this would be great. This would be so much fun to run a marathon. You go, you support the people running the marathon, and you think, I could do that. My wife today goes, you could run this. You could do it. And I'm like, why would I want to? Maybe I could, maybe. But why would I want to run 26.2 miles? What am I doing?
Props to all the people who run that marathon. I do not understand the desire one bit. And I admire their ability to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Which, by the way, shout out to Zdeno Chara, who he ran a marathon with, I think, just over an 8 minute mile at whatever age he is. Is a 6'9" former NHL defenseman who played for 27
Absolute
years.
Monster.
That is insane.
Eight minute mile is insane. I mean, when the first guy passed us, so we stand over by Cleveland Circle. So we're about 22 miles in, roughly. Mm-hmm. And the first man passed us running. And I looked at Johnny and I looked at Nora and I was like, that guy has run 22 miles and he would right now beat me in a race to the corner. Like I wouldn't be able to run him. I wouldn't be able to beat him in a race to the corner. And he's on mile 22 of 26. It's just like, it's insane how fast these guys run. And, you know, I mean, to do a marathon and, you know, I think today was like 3:06 was the time. I mean, it's outrageous how fast they run.
Yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't run. So it's just,
well, that's the thing. And again, I've ran before. I've ran 5Ks and 10Ks. I've done things like that, but like, why would I want to run 26 points? My thought was like, okay, if something happened in my life, someone I loved, which my grandparents have passed away from cancer, but like if someone I loved passed away from cancer or was whatever, right? God forbid something like that were to happen. And like I was motivated to do something and it was maybe, but like, I don't know. And, you know, and this microwave play says I could run it just really slowly. And listen, I mean, theoretically, running is the one thing that like you could do it. You could run the Boston Marathon today. You could have done it today with zero training. But your time would have been like 8 hours or something like that. It would have just taken forever. You know what I mean? And so it's one of those things where like anyone can do it, but it's just not, you know, it's
you gotta have a desire. You gotta put the time in too if you wanna not be in serious pain afterwards. And credit to everybody who does it.
100%. I'll tell you, it's no joke. I have a lot of friends doing it that did it today. Or I have a few friends that did it today and friends that have done it in the past. And, you know, all the credit in the world to them because I don't know how the heck they do it. Neighbor of mine, Richie, who listens to the show occasionally, he ran it today. So, and he finished pretty good time, like 4.5 hours or something like that. So, So look at the stats back saying hello. Brian Hammond makes a great point. He would run from someone threatening. Maybe if there was someone threatening running behind you for 26 miles, maybe you could do that. Maybe that would improve my time.
I don't even know if I could do that. I might just lay down.
Just be like, whatever, dude. Just kill me. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm all right. Like, I'm not going to make it the 26 miles. Right. So let's just end it now and right. I don't have to deal with, you know, getting all sweaty.
DJ, here goes DJ. If Caleb Williams fell to 3, I could run 26 miles to the podium. Were the requirement, it's like, Pat Lane, if you could run 26 miles and you could have Caleb Williams, I'd be like, all right, I'll try it. I'll give it a shot.
I think we could do that.
You know? I like that. So anyways, I just thought, I was like, oh my God, dude. She said, we're like leaving the race today. And she's like, you could do this if you want to do it. And I was like, no, I can't. Thank you for thinking that highly of me. But I cannot do that.
The if you wanted to is like, you know, like really undersell like how much you have to want that.
And that's the thing, right? That's the thing. And Farrah says like, you know, 5Ks are doable and fun. Just do that, which is true. Like 5Ks are a fun little thing to do. You can like hang out, have a beer afterwards, whatever. Just kind of hang. And you're not like dead. You run the marathon and you like die. Your body is not supposed to run 26 miles consecutively. It's just not supposed to. Right. And so like, and it's not just the running 26 miles. It's the training for, I'll never forget that. Like I used to headhunt for jobs. And so I call on this girl who was a senior in college and she was on the cross country team. Well, all the kids, if you go to school in Massachusetts and you run the cross country team, the majority of those kids run in the Boston Marathon. Certainly if you go to school in Boston, those kids typically run in the marathon. And so she was training for the Boston Marathon. And I called her like early April, maybe even late March. I called her at like 9 o'clock in the morning and she called me back at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She's like, hey, sorry. She's like, today was one of my 20 mile days. And so I was like, oh, you've been running since 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, great. Like that's not like, what is wrong with you people? And so, you know, that's just how it is, you know?
Yep. So, yeah, that's, I don't get it.
Yep. Yeah. But hey, as we said, you know, all the power to them. It's incredible that they're able to do that. It's an incredible feat. And so, you know, to all the people in Boston who are running today, you know, congratulations, great work. And it doesn't matter. Honestly, I tell you, like, I think the idea of doing it is so cool. Like, I think like you see the course and the history behind it and all the, like, that would be cool. Like if I were going to ever run a marathon, that would be the marathon I would run. But you know, I just don't know if I could ever actually do it. And I think at this point, it's going to take a while. And so DJ asked a question about how long for a non-runner to train for a 5K. They actually have like couch to 5K programs that you can do where it's like, they start you off with like literally you walk for like a minute and then you run for a minute and then you walk for a minute and then you run for, like, they actually like have that. And I think it's like a 2 or 3, it might be like a month or so training to be able to run a 5K, depending on what pace you want to do it at. You can speed it up or slow it down depending on what you wanted to do. So there are things you could do and, you know, you could do it if you wanted to. It's just, you know, I always tell people, I hated running. I hated every second of running. But after I ran, I felt great. And I'm like, this is great. After I ran, I feel great about myself. And I just ran. And I'm like, oh, this is great. But you know, I don't know. So anyways, all right, let's get into what do we want to do? Do we want to do your mock first and then do the 7-round mock? Do we want to do the 7-round mock first?
Let's start with mine. Because okay. I think it's going to give us an opportunity to talk through some stuff. Because I think we can talk about some of the other options available for the Patriots. You know, as we go through this, I think it sets up a good opportunity to talk about what some of the other options are at some of these spots. This is my final mock draft of the cycle. Your final one will be next week. Mm-hmm. It happened so fast, Pat. Where did the time go?
Really does. It really did. Like all of a sudden we're here and I'm like, it's here. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And it's this next week and a half, like it's going to go, especially because, you know, we're going to have Bruins and Celtics start the playoffs this weekend. And once those get going, it's a game every other night, right? It's every other night between the two. So it ends up being every night. It's just, you know, emotional whiplash going through those. Yep. It's going to creep up on us real fast. My mock, no trades in this one. This is my kind of realistic shot. A lot of my previous mocks are entertaining some kind of hypothetical question or, you know, trying to go through it with a certain perspective. This is just, you know, what I think is going to do based what I think they're going to do based on what we've seen, you know, who they've talked to, who they've worked out, what their needs are, yep. what they have liked out of guys in the past. So should we just, you know, get into it here?
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
So we're going to start at pick three. I know, I mean, there's been so much talk around the quarterbacks about what's going to happen in this draft, but Adam Schefter has been on one talking about how, like, Jaden Daniels is a lock for Washington. He was on a Washington podcast and told some Commanders fans that they can go ahead and order their Jaden Daniels jerseys now. I think that was earlier this week or yes. last week.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a pretty big statement. Schefter has been wrong with this stuff before. I believe he was wrong on the Trey Lance, Mac Jones stuff at pick three, if I'm remembering that correctly. But, you know, I think it makes some degree of sense. I don't think it's out of character for Washington to do this. And I'm going to say something that, like, I don't know, it's going to sound weird, but do you know who Jaden Daniels in this draft reminds me of right now?
Who?
Zach Wilson. Okay. I think they're very different players. It's not a player yeah. comparison.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a guy with a supporting cast much better than the people around him, rising up the draft boards later in the process. And like Zach Wilson wasn't really like he wasn't the consensus number two pick in that draft, but then eventually the Jets, you know, fell in love with him and he goes number two. And that kind of feels like what might be happening with Daniels if that's what's true, if it's true that the Commanders are that in on him. I've obviously been very open about my reservations with him. I don't love the idea of taking a guy who is that has that many issues navigating the pocket that high in right. the draft. That is a real issue for me, especially when they're thin. And we don't have to rehash the whole thing. But
yeah,
that's what happens. Then the Patriots have a chance to take the guy who's been the consensus number two guy, number two quarterback this entire time. I think more people have Drake May as like the number one guy than outside the top three. Like people really like Drake May. They liked Drake May all along. If Drake May is there at three, I think the Patriots just take him. I think yeah. that's the smart thing to do. He's not a sure thing as a prospect. He could be Josh Allen. He could be Ryan Tannehill. He could be Jake Locker. There's nothing's off limits with him. But there's a lot to like about his profile, and he's good enough that you feel comfortable taking the chance because of how high that ceiling can be. And you know, he has his issues as a prospect, but he did throw for 8,000 yards and rush for 1,000 in college in 2 years as a starter. Yeah, even with the issues he's had with a not great supporting cast, not great coaching, he's been highly productive. He's True. Made it work. Drake May is my pick at three. Like I would think about a trade back, but it would have to be a really big offer, I think, for yeah. me to take that. I think if this is the way it goes, we probably see the Cardinals end up trading out of four and the Vikings come up to get J.J. McCarthy. That's kind of what I think is going to happen. But
yeah, I don't know.
I think I think you would need 11, 23, a future first, and then like, I don't know, second and thirds this year and next year from the Vikings, I think, to move off of that.
So this is – so Matt asked about the Penix visit, and DJ Daniels just asking, you know, says May versus Penix plus an extra 2 to 3 first. The latter is a no-brainer to me. And I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I just don't know how you feel about the player. Do the Patriots feel like Michael Penix can be a good quarterback in the NFL? And I don't know if they feel that way. And again, is Drake May a little bit like, is he a finished product? No, he's not. He's not. But I think that he reminds me of Justin Herbert. I see him and I see a guy that just absolutely has a cannon for an arm. And, you know, what's funny is that I've seen comparisons between him and J.J. McCarthy. Someone tweeted out today was like, why are they so different? Why are Drake May and J.J. McCarthy different? Drake May's big and J.J. McCarthy's faster. And I'm like, yeah, but Drake May has like a ridiculously strong arm. And like J.J.'s arm's fine, but like it's not that level, you know? And so yes, McCarthy is like 8 months younger than Drake May. But like, it's not like he's that much younger.
And yeah, and I don't. I think QB age gets oversold a little bit. I care more about experience than age. Like I like the fact that Drake May in his first year ever as a starter was the ACC Player of the Year.
Right.
He was that good.
Yeah.
That I think is, and it's not about the actual accolade. It's the fact that he was that good.
Right away.
The fact that you're that good that young usually means good things.
Correct.
And JJ McCarthy's like, I like JJ, but he's not. I don't think they're still, I think Drake's a much better athlete. You know, they're both multi-sport guys. But Drake May, I think, played more sports more recently than JJ did. He's bigger. He has a more pliable body, more flexible arm, can throw the ball further with more accuracy, with less effort. I like May better there. And as to Penix, I'm not interested in Penix in the first round. I'm not sold in any way that he's going to be a franchise guy. I think there's a lot to like about his attitude, his leadership skills. He has all of the intangibles, but we are talking about a guy who's very experienced and didn't fully develop, I think, until a lot later on in the process, with a lot of injury issues. And he's not particularly mobile, and he's also late as a processor, and you can't be both. Like Caleb Williams, Drake May at times will miss reads. They'll be late to things, but they make up for it because they can create. And like, oh, they missed a play on first down, but they will make it up for you on second down. And Penix doesn't necessarily have that in his toolbox. He will make up for it at points. He's not bad. He just he makes up for it with some aggression down the field, throwing the ball. Penix could end up being, you know, a Phillip Rivers type guy. That wouldn't totally shock me if he has that career in the league. He could also be a guy who comes in, and because he's taking so many of these shots and trying to force balls into windows and gets there late, he just throws a ton of picks and never really gets an opportunity to be a guy in the league. And I think, man, you would have to be a huge price to pay to go from May to Penix, because with Penix, you're probably drafting a quarterback again next year. With May, you're not thinking about it for at least 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're drafting Michael Penix if you believe. I mean, the key is you have to believe that he can be the guy, right? And I think that, you know, I get it. And listen, if you look at it and say, and because Patriots Local just said, I don't think any of these QBs are at three, you know, that's fine. If you believe that, that's okay. I don't see how anyone could have JJ McCarthy over Drake May. Maybe you like the intangibles better. But like, I just don't, outside of that, and I look, I understand. I get it. He had a higher completion percentage. Good for him. How many times did he have to throw the ball? Now listen, when they asked him to throw the ball, he made plays in high level situations. I'm not denying that. He had a phenomenal offensive line. He had the best running game in the nation, essentially, right? And statistically, he probably didn't. But, like, they ran hell out of the ball. They did. Okay, so there you go. So they had the best running. They dominated people on the ground. And so then, yeah, sure, I'll throw the ball 12 times a game. And so his completion percentage was high. But when is he attempting 25 passes? Drake May, this year, it was like, all right, buddy, here you go. You have no weapons. You have no offensive line. And the entire team's on you. There you go, bud. Good luck. You know what I mean? And so that, and that's the hard thing for me. You know, it's like they're in two totally different situations.
This is a UNC team that went 500 in the ACC despite having a quarterback that's going to go in the top five and who played lights out for most of the season. This is a bad year for the ACC. The rest of that team is not good. They've elevated a lot of guys. And I have concerns about him. His accuracy can be hit or miss, but there's a lot of like, you know, he's going to have two throws absolutely on the money, one a little bit behind where it's supposed to be, and one nowhere near the receiver. Like that's kind of the spread you get from him, and you want to see him tighten that up.
And by the way, Farris, no one is saying that JJ going 27-1 is a negative. That's stupid. Anyone saying that is stupid.
Yeah.
But it's not that. You know, and look, this is the big thing, right? And someone brought this up, and I apologize for not knowing who the source was, but someone was talking about Pro Football Reference, and they were talking about WAA, which is wins above average. And maybe I mentioned this last week in the podcast, and I'm sorry if I did, but I'll talk about it again. the top guy in this year's draft class wins above average. That means you take the quarterback out of it and you look at every other player on the offense, the other 10 starting positions on the offense. What do those guys look like above average? What do they give you above the average player in college football collectively, right? And I think number one, and I can't remember who number one was. I don't think it was McCarthy, but either way, doesn't matter. Number one was like 5.2. It's pretty good. Number four was like 2.5, right? Which, again, is solid. Not great, but decent. Number five was Drake May. It was -0.04. So literally what they're telling you is that what that stat tells you is that if you just took an average college football player and replaced every single player on North Carolina with the average, with an average football player, just an average college football player, they would actually be a little bit better than they were. That's how bad that offense was around Drake May. And so you don't see what happens. Now, here's the thing. The Patriots offense looks like that right now. So would I draft Drake May at three and start him on day one? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I think what you do with him is the Jared Goff path, where you start playing him in the back half of his rookie season.
Yes.
Especially if it's like, all right, we're going to play until we're out of the playoff race. And now the pressure's gone. All right, now we can throw him in there and let him get some live reps. Like until that box is officially checked. And I feel like we get too black and white about the quarterback debate in general sometimes. Like J.J. McCarthy is a good prospect. He's also flawed. Drake May is a very good prospect who has his flaws. Michael Penix has some really good tape, and his best games rival the best games of any player in this class. It's just some of the other stuff. And for me personally, I have a bias against guys who are old, who are not older, but highly experienced guys coming out. If it takes you a while to get out of college, I'm immediately a little bit skeptical. And I'm also immediately skeptical of guys who have really good supporting casts. That's Daniels, that's Penix, and that is to a degree J.J. McCarthy. Now, I will say, one of the things that I think gets oversold with McCarthy is the offensive line. Michigan had, I think, the best run-blocking offensive line in the country. It was not very good, pass-blocking. Because they basically they had some injuries late in the season, and they almost played like five guards on the line. So pass protection-wise, things could get a little bit hairy, and I thought J.J. generally did a good job of dealing with that.
Stop being ageist, Max.
But yeah, no, and I here's the thing. I wouldn't be upset if JJ ends up in New England. Not interested in the third pick. I'm not going to be upset if Penix or Nix ends up in New England. Not interested in either of them in the first round. And Daniels to me is also won't be upset if he ends up in New England. I don't want him at three. If there was a world, and I said this before, if it was 2021 all over again and the Patriots are picking at 15, somehow Jaden Daniels ends up on the board. Yeah, that I like that. That I'm totally in on. At three, I think May is a better prospect, and I'm not. I'm just that's the guy I want there. I don't think there's any other quarter. It's Caleb and May are the guys I would take at three. I'm not taking any of the other guys.
And that's the way I feel about it. I agree 100%. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, I understand. By the way, when you mentioned supporting cast, one thing just popped in my head, which is C.J. Stroud, right, who had a phenomenal supporting cast. Obviously.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and clearly he kind of proved people wrong on that, right?
I do think that the one thing working against CJ Stroud there is that his supporting cast was coached by Ryan Day, who I still remain skeptical of in a lot of ways. As a Michigan fan, I absolutely love Ryan Day as a talent evaluator of Ohio State. He's very frustrating to watch.
Good point.
Yeah, you know, these rules aren't hard and fast. You know, Joe Burrow was an older prospect who came out who had an elite supporting cast and has been very good in the league. And obviously Joe Burrow did that in 2 years as a starter. He just took a while to get his opportunity. That's part of it. And that's where it's like, it's not age, it's experience. Jaden Daniels like has 4 years as a mid-tier college starter or a regular good college starter and 1 year as an elite starter. Is he the guy he was the 1 year, or is he the guy he was the other 4 years? Penix is just tough to evaluate all around because of how many injuries there are. And then, like, Nix, this is going to be a weird comparison. You know who Bo Nix reminds me of a little bit?
Who's that?
Brock Purdy. He's bigger. But there's a lot of, like, you see the questionable decisions, but also when you put him in an offense where you can kind of put the chains around him and make him operate in a structure, you can make it productive and you can make it work. And obviously, you know, Brock Purdy went in as the last pick of the draft. So a guy like that, I'm not taking a guy like that in the first round. I like some things about Bo Nix's profile. And I mean, even taking him at 34 starts to, that makes me a little bit nervous.
I agree with you. Well, and look, so this is, and just, and again, not that I want to slander JJ McCarthy. I don't want to do that. But towards the end of the season, I'm not going to count Iowa because Iowa stinks. But Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, and Washington, they beat them all. Right? Incredible. Four huge wins, massive wins against really good teams. Obviously, one of them for two of them in the playoffs, one of them in the championship game. Right? JJ McCarthy completed a total of 50 passes in those four games. 5-0 passes in four games. I mean, I'm sorry. I want my quarterback completing more passes than 13 a game. I do. And I get it. I know that their offense was this, and some of those were big plays and everything. I get it. But like, you can't sit here and talk about how he put them on their shoulders and took them to victory when it's like he completed a total of 50 passes in those four games. Right? No, that's the problem that I have.
Yeah. And that's why I win-loss record, like wins can be a QB stat, but they aren't always a QB stat. Right. And like, wins are a QB stat for JJ McCarthy in that he is a very talented, highly recruited prospect, was willing to be a cog in the machine instead of being the center of the offense in order to win football games.
Right.
He just, because of how good that offense was, he didn't really have to. He put them on his shoulders once, the drive to force overtime against Alabama. And that might be the most impressive moment he had as a prospect in college. He was fantastic there, especially with the mental toughness. So.
Right. And don't take anything
away from him. We're all talking about one drive in college.
That's the thing. Don't take anything away from them for that drive. But that's it. You know what I mean? Like, and again, I don't want to take that. I don't want to say he stinks because he doesn't. But it's just, it's hard for me to sit here and say he's better. He's a better prospect than Drake May because he won a lot. It's just like, that's just not, I get it. But that's just not that can't be the argument. It just can't be. I'm sorry. It can't be because he wasn't doing things like Brady was, where he was leading his team back from down. Brady would come out. Drew Henson would stink. He'd go back in and lead to comeback victories. That wasn't what JJ McCarthy was doing, you know? So anyways, all right, let's move on. I want to get through this, Mark, because we're almost a half an hour in and we still haven't even gotten around to yet.
Yeah. So. All right. Yeah, if you guys are mad at me for round one, we're going to get real. Everybody's going to get real upset here in round two. Wide receiver Keon Coleman from Florida State. And look, I'm gonna only pull up some wide receiver rankings here so we can talk through some of the options who might be on the table. I think by the time we get to where New England picks, I think your top three are off the board. Brian Thomas Jr. is off the board. Ladd McConkey is probably gone. And A.D. Mitchell is probably gone. So those are the guys we're moving. Now, we know the Patriots need a receiver. Let's take a look at some of the other guys who are available. Obviously, Keon Coleman. You've got Roman Wilson in this group. You got Ricky Pearsall in this group. Xavier Worthy, Malachi Corley, Troy Franklin, Jalen Polk, Xavier Leggett. I think that right there is probably the group of receivers you're considering.
Yeah.
Pick 34 if you're going to end up going receiver. Now, as we walk through these guys, I like Roman Wilson as a Michigan guy. Not a ton of production. Undersized, 185 pounds, might be just a speed slot in the NFL. Pearsall, lots of similarities to Roman Wilson. He's a little bit bigger, and that's about it. And he's a year older. Xavier Worthy, fast as all get out. It's 165 pounds. You need to be fast if you're going to be 165 pounds. Highly recruited. He's a very talented guy. To me, he's almost like a discount Jalen Waddle type guy. That's who he reminds me of. Got Malachi Corley, who we both love, who mm-hmm. is essentially, I think, a slot guy in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Troy Franklin, who is fast, productive, 176 pounds. Jalen Polk, who I like his profile a lot. Bigger guy, can win on the outside, tested all right, has good production, super solid prospect. And then Xavier Leggett, who was dominant this past season after 4 years of essentially nothing at South Carolina. Fast, big, strong, athletic. I think when you look at this, we know historically that Elliott Wolf's father did not like small receivers. He likes big guys. Mm-hmm. You look at where the Patriots are now. Bob Douglas, good slot receiver. Kendrick Bourne, best in the slot. KJ Osborne, at his best in the slot. The guys that they have who we actually feel good about at receiver, the three guys who we feel somewhat decent about, are all at their best in the slot. Which means, you put all this together, you need an outside guy. That's not going to be Roman Wilson. That's not going to be Ricky Pearsall. That's not going to be Xavier Worthy. That's not going to be Malachi Corley. That leaves you with Franklin, Polk, Leggett, and Keon Coleman.
Yeah,
those are your guys. Franklin, too small. I don't think he's going to meet their thresholds. So it's Polk, Leggett, and Coleman. That is the trio that you are considering here. And to me, Leggett, a guy who is a late breakout the way he is, who to me is super stiff as a route runner, scares me a lot at pick 34. And I like Polk, but he is more of a third rounder to me than a second rounder. By process of elimination, you've got Coleman as probably the best athlete, best big guy in that group. And if you're taking a receiver here, I think Coleman is the best match for New England. I think he best fits what they want to do. He gets the N'Keal Harry comparison. I think he's a much more fluid athlete than N'Keal Harry ever was. I like his potential more. Like I hated N'Keal Harry as a prospect back in the day. Yeah. And there's parts of Coleman's game that remind me of that. But he's less polished as a route runner here, in large part because he was a two-sport athlete until like 2 years ago. He was playing college basketball and college football at the same time at Michigan State. He only fully committed to football 2 years ago. He's still right. developing this, and he has the athleticism yeah. for it. So you put it all together, and it's like, all right. And he ran a bad 40 time at the combine. Nowhere on his tape does that actually show up. In his drills, he ran fast. I think he just had a bad 40. I don't think he's actually slow. He's not a burner. He's not Tyreek Hill out there, but like he probably has about the same speed as a Davante Adams. Like,
yeah, well, someone said, you know, his tape is 4.5. And his 40 was a 4.6, right? And 4.6 is slow,
yeah.
right? And someone pointed out, which is true, that you know, that Penix ran faster than Coleman. And I get it. And we see you, and I see you guys out there. Like, I get it. I understand. I get where you're coming from. I know you don't, but and I don't know how much I love Keon Coleman. I will say that like halfway through the season, yeah. people are talking about Keon Coleman as like a top half of the first round type player.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and I don't remember. Was it Dane that was talking about it? I forget who it was that was saying, like, look at the gauntlet drill. Look at mm-hmm. look at what's his name's gauntlet drill? Puka Nacua's gauntlet drill. And Puka Nacua, like, he was so slow in the 40. Matter of fact, I think he had just about the same. He ran like a 4.58 or something like that, or 4.57 at the 40.
Right. Yeah.
But his gauntlet drill was so smooth. And Keon Coleman's looked similar. Not the same, but similar. And, you know, guys calling for a left tackle here, I get it. I understand. And I don't blame you for wanting that. I do see it. I wonder if you could have waited a little bit longer to draft Coleman. But I do think that, you know, that Coleman has potential. I see him as kind of a Devontae Parker type guy. Devontae Parker, when he was young, when he was healthy, was good.
Yeah,
he's just people old forget and that. Hurt all the time, right? So that's yeah. that's the hard part with him right now.
If you got a guy where you get to reset Devontae Parker's career and get him again without the injuries, yeah, that's a right. you take that chance. That's good, especially in the second round. I like that. And yeah, DJ Daniel in the chat is talking about how Coleman was mocked in the top 10 or 15. It's funny because I remember that, and I spent, you know, back in September. I went through all the receivers who are at the top. You watch Marvin Harrison, and it's Marvin. He's really good. Mm-hmm. And you watch Malik Nabers, and it's, man, this dude jumps off the tape. Then it's Keon Coleman, and it's, he's got some good moments. And I kind of put him on the back burner after that because I was like, there's no way this dude is a top 15 prospect. And I think I got too low, and I think a lot of people got too low on him because of that. Because right. Then I watched him, and then I watched all these other second-round guys, and I came back to Keon Coleman, and I was like, wow, I like him better than just about everybody else in this tier.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Compare him to those guys. Not the top guys. He's not going to be as good as Malik Nabers or Dunze and Marvin Harrison Jr., but, like, is he better than the guys that are going to be going in the second round? Is he better than Xavier Leggett? Is he better than those guys? That's the question.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we talk about his poor testing or whatever at the combine, but in like the 40 time, but look at his vertical leap, his broad jump. This dude is explosive. And that's where you see the basketball background. He's tall. He's got long arms and he can jump out of the building, which I really like. And like, guys who are like that, who have that real explosivity in their lower body, that translates better to route running and separation on the field and ability to win one-on-one matchups than your 40 time. Like, right. I care way more about that in testing for a receiver.
I agree.
There's nothing – yeah, and it's – I think it was Daniel Harms who covers the Chiefs was doing some cutoffs of Keon Coleman, and he put this on – he retweeted it today because I was looking at it. And there's a clip of him where, like, he doesn't have the most explosive deep speed, but he has enough to scare defensive backs, and then he could just bully them at the top of routes and get open. There's some concerns with him, but I think it's I don't have any concerns about his athletic profile. It's all technique. It's all getting better, and he's young. He's already been productive. He didn't commit to this sport until late in the process, and I think he's moldable.
Right. Well, and so Rusty points out that, you know, him playing basketball doesn't matter. And I think it does. Like, it doesn't matter a ton, but, you know, as a guy, you know, and I don't know what position he played. He probably was a guard, so he wasn't necessarily playing power forward or anything like that. But being able to position your body in a specific way, like you do in basketball, I think translates to football as well. I think, you know, and the other part of it too, is that I look at it and think, you know, basketball is something that requires so much lateral agility, especially from a guard perspective. I mean, you talk about a guy that you can't play the two or the three without being at least, you know, like decently athletic, right, and mobile. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I look at it. So, all right, let's move on
I do just wanted to note on that. I think it's also just important to remember, like, the fact that he played basketball matters because he wasn't fully committed to, like, his football training until two off seasons ago.
So it doesn't mean he's going to be a great player or anything like that. But, like, I mean, shoot, Antonio Gates played basketball. Not that that matters, but, like, he didn't do anything in football because he was, you know, he was – right? Was it? Who am I thinking? No, who's the one that went to UNC and played basketball at UNC? It wasn't Antonio Gates.
Oh, are you thinking Julius Peppers?
Yes, Peppers. But I feel like there was a tight end too that played. I thought there was a tight end that went to UNC and put on the basketball team. Or was it? It wasn't Algie Crumpler though. It was someone. I forget who the hell it was. It doesn't matter. Jimmy Graham played basketball. So it's like. But again, I think that's a great point, and I'm happy that your mom played basketball, which is great. But like. But the idea is that he's not committed to – I think that's the point. Like, he's not focused on football. He's doing both. And that really doesn't have much to do with anything except for the fact that when he fully commits to football, you're seeing that now. He went to Florida State and he just played football, and you're like, wow, he looks a lot better at Florida State than he did at Michigan State because he's committing more time to football and working on those things instead of, you know, dividing his time with both, you know?
And I thought he looked better by the end of the year too. And I also think, like, it was a weird offense with a lot of mouths to feed, and Jordan Travis gave you really inconsistent quarterback play. And it's, it was a weird situation for him. So I'm not sitting here saying he's going to be an all pro, but I like him better than the other guys. And I think he fits what New England's going to want better than the other guys. And that leaves offensive tackle for the next pick. So we get to the third round. I went with Blake Fisher here.
Yep. I like him. I've targeted him in the past. He played primarily right tackle at Notre Dame, so I can see why people don't love him, especially in New England where you just signed the right tackle. But he does have a little position flexibility. I think could play left tackle if he had to.
He was the first, first freshman offensive lineman to start for Notre Dame week one in like 15 years. And he did that at left tackle, got hurt, and then Joe Alt came in and took his left tackle job, and he went over to right tackle. Like, he's not as good a prospect as Joe Alt. I'm not going to hold that against him too much.
Yeah, right.
He's got the athleticism you want. He just needs more work. And, you know, as a theme you're seeing with all three of these top guys is they're all young guys who have the athletic ability you want, who just need technical work to improve. And I like taking guys like that because if you hit on them, you can get true franchise players. And also you're putting some faith in your coaching staff to say, hey, we like these guys. We think that you can work with them. And Scott Peters, the new offensive line coach, got to work with Blake Fisher at Notre Dame's pro day. So, you know, this is kind of assuming they liked what they saw out of that workout. I think he has the ability to be your swing tackle immediately and can develop into a starter on that left or right tackle.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I like it. And so, all right, let's move on. I wanted to just get through this here. So,
yeah,
another Notre Dame player in round four, Cam Hart.
Yeah, six foot three corner, was timed at 23 miles per hour on the field last year.
It's outrageously fast.
He's got 33-inch long arms. That's almost offensive. That actually is the threshold for offensive tackle, typically. Led Notre Dame in forced fumbles, was a team captain, and locked up Tez Walker at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, I think if he turns into something, he gives you the ability to be your Brandon Browner across from Christian Gonzalez to a degree. Mm-hmm. If you want to play it that way schematically. And, you know, we got Marcus Jones, we got Jonathan Jones, and a whole host of other guys who I think are slot defenders. And this gives you a guy who's truly an outside corner who can just line up against big bodies and go one-on-one.
Yeah. John's wife has a great question. Mm-hmm. She wants to know why we don't just talk about this after we make the pick. She doesn't get it. Look, I get it. Right? John's wife, I'm with you. This is what we do, man. We got to get our takes off. We got to talk about these guys. We got to see who's right and who's wrong. And then we can, you know, we can evaluate our evaluations later on down the year. And what the hell are we going to do from December until April? We're going to talk about something. You know, so like, this is what we do. Yeah, it's a great question, though, because if you didn't care, you'd be like, what? Why are you talking about these guys? Who the hell cares? You know? But and then for me, it's fun because then I see the guys in the league and I'm like, ooh, that's cool that I remember this guy. I love this guy and so on and so forth. And so like Nick Bolton is like one of my favorite dudes and I hate the Chiefs. But like when Nick Bolton picked up that fumble and returned for a touchdown last year, I was like, let's go. I was like so excited because it's freaking Nick Bolton returning the touchdown. I was like, this is great, you know. So, yeah, you kind of have these guys and you like them and fall in love with them. But and then, of course, they end up somewhere else and it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. And this is the fun part, too. It's the speculation because right now the world's your oyster and you got a million different ways this team can go. And in
a little over
10 days, under 2 weeks, it's all those doors are closed and you've picked your path. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Feeding families all over the internet. All right. Round five.
Tight end Jared Wiley from TCU. He's big. He's 6'6". He ran a 4.62 40 dash, which is really good for a tight end, especially one of that size. Mm-hmm. Pats used the top 30 visit on him. He's an older guy. He hasn't been overly productive in college, although he did just have his best year, over 500 yards receiving, led TCU in touchdowns. Get to this point in the draft. This is the type of prospect I like to take. You know, big, fast tight end. See if you can develop him. That's 40-yard dash, I think, matters a lot more for tight ends than it does for wide receivers. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'd agree with you on that.
And we'll move on to the sixth round. It's Christian Boyd. They met with him at his pro day where he had 38 reps on the bench press, which was school record. It's a run-stuffing defensive tackle who did really well at the Shrine Bowl, and teams love him. He didn't get invited to the Combine, which he's probably going to be the first guy drafted who didn't get that invite. A little short-armed, but, you know, he can be your Lawrence Guy replacement right away. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they've had, they've been linked to him, and I think he's a quality player. They usually take guys at some point who've been in the bowl circuit, at least historically they've done that. So I think he's a fit. And then their other sixth round pick here is going to be Nathaniel Watson, who was at the Senior Bowl. He led the SEC. He's a linebacker, led the SEC with sacks and tackles last year. He's a little undersized, but he's very fast. He's older guy, but he's improved every year. Pat's also brought him in for a top 30 visit. He's a guy who could be a starting special teams guy and rotational linebacker right away. So connect some dots. I see the fit there, especially with Chris Board gone. You know, you can use another body in there to help you on special teams. And his experience, he can rush the passer. He can do a lot of different things. Interesting tool for your defensive coaching staff to use.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. By the way, someone asked about, I'm sorry, somebody asked about Renardo Green, I just was wanted to answer this question. Brian is asking about Renardo Green and how old he is. I can't find out how old he is from Florida State. I'm sure I could look it up if I really wanted or, you know, really went through and combed through. His freshman year was 2019, though. So he's older. Graduate high school in 2018. Okay. Right. So even think about if he was 17 when he graduated high school.
I have his age. The beast has his age. He's 23 right now. He's going to turn 24 before Thanksgiving.
Early there November. You go. Okay. So he'll be 24 by the end of the year, which is what I was going to say, basically, that, you know, seemed like he was probably going to be at least 24. So,
yeah. Yep. So and then I wrapped up my draft with Bub Means, taking him before, connected to New England, played with Tyquan Underwood, height, weight, speed guy.
I love it.
Yeah, it hasn't been super productive, but, you know, you're just taking a guy who's got some traits you like, who has some experience with the coaching staff, and see if it turns into somebody.
Yep. And that's kind of what you're doing late in the draft, right? Just go after a guy that you think, you know, could be something. Maybe he won't, but you take a shot and see what happens. So, yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll do our seven-round mock, and then there are some players we want to talk about in between here. During the mock, I think that we kind of have a few things to say about a few different guys. And so we'll talk about those guys. And we'll go from there. So, all right, we'll be back. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball, baseball, and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Aaron Judge, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Now this week, I'm actually going with Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, and Bobby Witt Jr. to have over 1.5 total bases, and I'm going with Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Nikola Jokic with more than 10 rebounds. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, if you download the app today and put in the code CLNS, they will match your first deposit up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, we're back. I by the way, the comments coming about Drake May, they're so many people that hate Drake May. So many
he's
people.
Polarizing.
And I for one, personally, and I, you know, I mean, I'm not the biggest Drake May fan in the world. I like Drake May, but I'm not like the biggest Drake May fan in the world. I want him to succeed here so badly so that all of those people can just like shut the hell up. I it is what it is, man. And I you know, look, there are people that I understand it. I get it, right? Like, he's Mitch Trubisky. He's this. He's that. He's not good. He's a bust. He blah, blah, blah. And maybe that's true. Maybe it is. And that's okay. I just, you know, I don't – that's fine. And people can have opinions on him. My thing is this, right? I think that this – I look at this year's class. I'll use 2021 as an example. I knew for a fact Zach Wilson would be a bust. I knew he would be. I'm like, you just watch him. He's going to be a bust, 100%. I don't see a guy like that in this year's draft. I was extremely worried about Trey Lance in 2021, extremely worried about Trey Lance, right? And again, TD, I know one guy said he'll get his coaches fired. That's great. That's great. Merrill Hodge, I think, said that. Good for him.
Any like, quarterback you draft, if they bust, will get a coach fired.
Right. And I don't think, by the way, I don't think to me, right? I don't think that's even the case. But whatever. Doesn't matter. You know, and look, we can look at different players and say, but this year's draft is different than 2021. 2021, you had Trevor Lawrence, who was essentially like, if you bred a 21st century quarterback in a lab, that's what you would have gotten. I have watched last year's North Carolina games, by the way, in case you're wondering. But I mean, not that it matters to you, but that's okay. He wasn't horrible. It's all right. It's fine. We're not having a discussion. It's fine. My point is this, right? I don't think there's a, and by the way, these quarterbacks are like multiple of these quarterbacks are going to stink in the league. It's just, that's just like probability is that more than half maybe of these quarterbacks are not going to be very good in the NFL. That's just the truth, right? I mean, that's just what we've seen over the period of time. But I don't see any, like, to me, there's no obvious bust that I see, at least. I think there's a chance that some guys will get, you know, overdrafted, and there's a chance. But I look at each player on here, and I have good reasons why I think they'll all be good. And then I also have some good reasons why I think they could, if they don't make it, this is why they won't make it. And so it's a unique year because I feel like all these guys are super talented, but I have concerns about every single one of them. Even Caleb Williams, who I love Caleb Williams. But there are some serious questions about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who most likely is going to go number two. I have some serious questions about Jaden Daniels as well. And so, you know, that's the hard thing for me.
And that's life-taking quarterback. I mean, rarely are these guys polished products. When they are, they go number one and people tank for them. Like, that's how valuable right. these guys are. So at a certain point, a quarterback, you got to live with an imperfect guy and hope that you can improve him. That's really all there is to it. So you take shots that you think are high quality, and you keep taking them until you get a quarterback. Yeah, and exactly. In the meantime, you build a team.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Agreed. So, all right. So let's get into this. Let's do this 7-round mock here. We're going to do a 7-round mock, a live 7-round mock, and we'll go from there. You know, we'll just see. We'll see where it leads us. I don't know about – yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Let's just see where it goes. Maybe we'll trade back. Maybe we'll draft Drake May at number three. Who knows? I will say, though, doing this with Austin last week really kind of opened my eyes to – you know, I know that you drafted guys at 34 and this and that. When we're doing just a regular mock draft, I feel like – we should either trade back from three or trade back from 34 or trade up from 34. Mm-hmm. But I feel like drafting 3, 34, and 68, there weren't a lot of guys that we liked by the time we got to 68, right? So
you end up in a really, really weird spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's do it.
Yeah. These settings all look good?
Yeah. Yep. All right.
We're doing – this is the PFF simulator for anybody who's listening. So we'll get into this, see who goes one and two. It's Caleb Williams and Drake May off the board in this one as the first two picks. So what are you thinking, Pat? Do we just trade back?
I think we trade back, yeah. I like the idea of trading back here. And we talked about this anyways about moving back. So let's just see what's available. Atlanta wants to move up, which is interesting.
Yep. And I don't think that's – I think we'll keep this realistic. I don't think Atlanta or Chicago actually wants to.
Yeah.
I think Denver wanting to move up is realistic. I don't think the Saints – you never know with the Saints. Well, I think the Broncos wanting to move up is the most realistic of this group. So that's where I would go with this.
All right. So let's do the Broncos.
And then what is this going to look like?
Let's see. Oh, baby.
They don't have a ton of assets. It's one of the issues here.
Yeah, they don't have a second-round pick this year.
We can do this and pretend that where there's a 2026 first involved as well.
I mean, that's so much.
when we're calculating it, like it would be probably something like this in a 2026 first, I think is.
All right. I see what you're saying. So 12, yeah. 76 and two firsts. Yeah. First in 2025 and a first in 2026. I think that makes sense. I mean, to me, you get, you know, two future years of first round picks and a third round pick this year. And again, it's a little bit later in the third round, but that asset is going to allow you, if you want, to move up from 34, to move up from 68, like, you know, so that kind of gives you a little flexibility. So, let's do that. And then again, we'll pretend as though there's a 2026 first involved, where, you know what, just throw in a round two from 2025. It's the same thing, right? I mean, it's not, yeah. But it's, you know.
We'll do it for these purposes. The we'll do this.
Right.
We'll offer this trade to move back to 12. Trade accepted. So we'll skip ahead to 12 here. No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I don't think we'll. Well, yeah, I don't think we want to move back up.
Yeah. So, all right. Patriots now picking at 12 with the extra MO.
Cooper DeJean at 11? What?
Yeah, that's wild. So some of the top guys on the board at this point, Johnny Newton, defensive lineman from Illinois, Laiatu Latu, the defensive end from UCLA, Troy Fatanu from Washington, the tackle, Olufashanu is here, JC Latham is here, so you got three of the top tackles. You got two of the top edge guys in Dallas Turner and Jared Verse right there. You still have Tarion Arnold, the top corner on the board. Somehow, Jaden Daniels is still on the board here. We're just going to pretend.
Just pretend
that,
like that
Denver took him.
Yeah.
Because that makes no sense.
Right, because why would you give up multiple first-round picks to move up to take Malik Nabers? Not that I don't like Malik Nabers, but, like, you're not giving up that package for Malik Nabers.
Yeah. So
and I'm Cooper DeJean goes 11 to Minnesota, who desperately needs a quarterback. They don't take Jaden Daniels. Like, okay. All right. It's weird. Makes sense. By the way, you know, well, J.J. McCarthy and – I mean, this is a wild mock, PFF. What's going on here? Yeah. J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels both have
been. He's gone at 11. Or six.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
There's no way. So yeah.
If this is I personally here, I mean, I think there's I'd be picking between Olufashanu and Troy Fatanu.
100%. Yeah. That's what I'm looking at. And I think both of them, you could certainly make the argument for both of them. They both play left tackle. And so I can see it. Let's take a look at the chat. Let's see what the chat had to say. Chat, if we were start over, someone said this the sim is compromised. We have a vote for Fashanu. Reset the simulation. People are asking. We're not resetting the simulation. We're here. We're committed. We're done. We've committed. So you're choosing between chat. You're choosing between Olufashanu and Troy Fatanu. We're not taking a quarterback here because it's unrealistic that either of those would be available. I just don't see a world in which Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy will be available at 12. And so we're just not taking them on principle. DJ Daniel, of course, voting for Latham. You're not following directions there, GJ Daniel, because it's Olufashanu or Troy Fatanu. We're not letting you choose JC Latham.
Some people really like JC Latham, although he played right tackle. So right. I don't
that yeah. That's the issue that I have is that he's mostly a right tackle. He can play left tackle, I think. But okay. Looks like no, it's okay, DJ. I'm just giving you a hard time. Let's go Olufashanu. There's enough votes for Olufashanu that let's go Fashanu there at 12.
All right. So Fashanu the pick at oh my goodness. I did this and I forgot to click 7-round mock. I hit 1-round. All right, all those people who wanted us to reset, we're resetting.
Guess what? Resetting after all. Okay.
New mock draft.
Jimmy Christmas.
Oh my goodness. We run a real tight ship over here.
After a great start. After a great
all
start.
Right, let's try this again. All right, we'll do the can we do the same trade again?
Same trade with Denver. 12, 76, 1-2 for number 3.
Offer trade accepted.
Hey, look at that. We traded back to 12.
Okay, he's still there. All right. All good.
All right. Olufashanu. Love it. Okay. Now so let's see what we got. So now Bo Nix is there, is possible now. Ladd McConkey went 32, and I'm very upset about that. Not pleased about Ladd McConkey going 32, but you know, what are you gonna do? So this is kind of the situation we found ourselves in before, right? Where there wasn't a ton of guys on the board. Now, Braden Fisk is a guy that I think has a lot of upside as a pass rushing interior defensive lineman. I think it's a luxury pick. Like I'd like Braden Fisk. And if you
I think this is too early for him for me.
But I also look at it and think, if you had in the and of course I understand that Denver doesn't have one, but if you had picked up a second and a third round pick, so you had 2 second round picks here, this would be the type of guy I would go after, would be a Fisk or even like a Chris Braswell, who's a beast from Alabama, but like a guy like that on the offense, on the defensive line. But where you only have this 1 second round pick, I wouldn't necessarily do that. Now, Penix is still available. We could take Michael Penix here at 34.
Bo Nix still available.
Bo Nix is still available. And the wide receivers are not looking great.
It's Franklin, Wilson, Pearsall, Burton, Jermaine Burton. That was a guy I didn't talk about earlier. I really like parts of his game. It's just there's some, I think, personality questions there.
I mean, you know, one of the best quotes I've heard about Jermaine Burton is that there are two coaching staffs that hate Jermaine Burton. Yeah. So it's like you're taking an awfully big risk, you know?
Yeah. Ken Coleman, Jalen Polk, Xavier Leggett. I can't see the chat right now, so I don't know what they're saying. If they have a lean right now.
Sounds like, let's see. Because people are saying Penix. Yeah, a lot of people are saying Penix. I also could look at it and trade back, because this again was a situation that we were in, right? Mm-hmm. With Austin, where we were like, I don't know. We went back and forth, and we took a guy and we didn't really love him. Why don't we see if we can move back from 34 to like that mid 40 range?
All right. Well,
because at wide receiver,
Packers here at 41.
Okay.
They want to move up in this. So let's see. They wouldn't give us 58. 88 to move up. I don't hate that.
Yeah, another third round pick.
Yeah.
And what about, I hate that at all. See if they'll give us like a fifth next year or something like that.
Let's see. I don't think this is going to go through, but we can offer it. Yeah, they didn't. If we take out the fifth, I bet it'll go through. Am I good to? Should I do it?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Trade accepted. All right, we're moving back seven spots.
Yeah, and getting another third round pick, which isn't bad. Yeah. I'll take that. Yeah. By the way, there was someone in the chat asked about sending in a mock draft. If you have mock drafts to send in, I'll remind everyone at the end. But if you have mock drafts to send in, send them to PatsNationNetwork@gmail.com. PatsNationNetwork@gmail.com. We're going to go through some tonight, and we don't have any time. So we're not going to get them today, but we will do them on Thursday. We are going to have a guest on Thursday, and we'll go through them there.
Yeah.
Braden Fisk still available. Love it.
Well, and like Nix and Penix are still here, and this is the range where I feel comfortable by taking either one of them.
Yeah, so let's take Penix. I personally like Penix over Bo Nix, personally, and so I would prefer Penix over Nix.
Penix at 41. Is the pick here, and then we're going to go all the way down. So Patriots picking at 68. They also pick at 76 and 88 and 103. So a whole string of picks here in a row.
Which is nice.
Yeah. I'm going to say the name that jumps out to me right here at 68 is Javon Baker, the UCF receiver. Mm-hmm. As a bigger guy, Tez Walker, if you want a bigger receiver, Blake Fisher, if you're looking for a tackle. I know I just talked about him. I think Jalen Polk is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen Polk is
the other Jalen is here. McMillan. I also, we didn't talk about this guy, but Johnny Wilson is on the board. I think 68 is just a little early for Johnny Wilson, although I wouldn't hate it at 68. Johnny Wilson, for those of you that don't know, 6'6 wide receiver from Florida State. He's not super dominant. He's not, I don't,
6'7 actually.
Yeah. It's such a, he's such a strange guy.
Yeah,
because like I'm like, okay, he's huge, but he's like not super fast.
He's like an even bigger Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, it's really, and his hands are good but not great. It's a whole thing with him. At the same time, if he's able to, like, he does have some decent speed to him. Like, if he's able to figure things out, he could be one of those guys that just, like, he's just a freak. He's 6'7", and he's just so much bigger than everyone else that he can just dominate. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know how much I love – you know what I mean? It's like I'm on the fence of them, and I don't know how much I love them. So I don't know.
I would go Javon Baker here. I don't know what the chat is saying, but Javon Baker is kind of where I lean.
Yeah.
Who can win on the outside. Like, I'm not a big Tez Walker guy. And I like Jalen McMillan, but he's, I think, a slot in the NFL.
I'd rather people are saying trade back again. You can't do
it. At some point, we got to take somebody.
Can't do it again.
Baker 6'1", 208 had over 1,000 receiving yards this year.
Matt really Minato
contested catches. Good against
go. Coverage. There, can you? Matt Minato wants you to explain why you should be in on Javon Baker because he just doesn't see it.
I mean, we're at a point where you're just taking chances on guys. And you know, I guess stats are up on the screen there. You know, he played pretty well. I don't know how it's going to translate to the NFL. You're jumping up from UCF, which is a kind of mid-tier school there in college football. But yeah, the guy's been highly productive. And it's, you know, the guy is available here. Baker's guy who's been highly productive at a lower level as an outside guy. Tez Walker is a guy who's been a lot more inconsistent and I think has a lot more room to grow in his game. He's not super polished, so I lean Baker. It's the third round, you know. I think we should probably take two receivers in this next group of picks.
I agree with you. So I'm okay with Baker. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Sweet. All right. Now 76. Tez Walker, Johnny Wilson still here. Blake Corum, Jamari Thrash, Bucky Irving, Malachi Corley.
That's my guy, baby.
Another name interesting is Patrick Paul as an offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He's an older guy. Played only on the left side. But he's 6'7", 315. And he could have come out last year, honestly, and stayed. But he's got elite size. He can move people in the running game. It's just an older dude who might be just okay.
I feel like his floor should be fairly high, but at the same time, I look at Patrick Paul and think like he's a big dude. He's got a ton of experience, but I also think he needs like a good amount of growth as well. So he's kind of like a weird prospect because he's not like a finished product and he's also not like a dominant player. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a strange spot for him to be in. I like the guy, but I do like him. I mean, that's the thing is I like the guy. So I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, this is a weird group of players right here because I think you can go in a lot of different directions. And you already
is Jacob Cowing available, perchance?
Yeah, I think they have him in the hundreds somewhere. Yeah, they have him at 107.
107. So maybe we could even take him in the next pick. Could we look at? I like Cowing quite a bit, and he's a little bit smaller, but I like him quite a bit. He's kind of he's not necessarily a flex guy, but. I'm not necessarily a slot guy. I'm sorry, but he's not doesn't have the size of some of these other guys. But no. Bucky Irving's an interesting name. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. just because his dad's like was a beast, and they could probably use another guy like that. He's only 6 feet. I mean, the problem with Trotter is he's just not huge, right? Like he's not great
against the run. Like
he's not super explosive.
I feel good about Bentley and Devine there against the run.
Well, the other question is
interesting to me is Christian Mahogany.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Super solid guard who could do a lot. And apparently he's been pretty good in the pre-draft process. 322-pound guard.
Yeah.
And
again, it's one of those situations where you look at the guard situation and you say, I like City So. And I like Cole Strange, but I don't know how, you know, I don't feel like they are the 100% long-term solution there at guard. And I don't know if they can stay healthy either.
Yeah.
And you could also look at it and say, well, Cole Strange, I think has the position flexibility to perhaps play center. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I wonder if a guy like Christian Mahogany makes sense at 76. I know it's early to take an interior offensive lineman. People are going to hate it. Like, I'm sure the chat is just, like, screaming at us to not take an interior offensive lineman at 76. But
I think it's a need for them. And if there's – we got a couple of our options here. Cedric Van Pran, Georgia center. If you want another Georgia center to replace David Andrews as the guy of the future – they say here he's probably better in a gap scheme, which I don't know if that's what they're going to be running, so he may not necessarily be a scheme fit.
Right.
Mason McCormack was a left guard who came up from South Dakota State.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not taking a South Dakota State left guard.
I honestly lean Christian Mahogany. You can also go Renardo Green if you want to press man corner here. I don't hate right. that pick. I would go between Renardo Green and Christian Mahogany here personally.
Okay. I'll let you take it because I'll let you take it. Go ahead.
I'm going to go. I think Renardo Green is more likely to get taken, so I'm going to take him here just because he's a older press. Oh, he's small.
He's like six. What is he, 6 feet?
It's 186 is the issue. 186 yeah. pounds. Man. So I think there's a chance either is available at 88 as well.
What about Cam Hart?
He's also still on the board. He's further down, I'm pretty sure. Let's see. Where do they have Cam Hart? Yeah, 122. All right, let's go with Christian Mahogany then because we have a backup plan on Renardo Green.
All right, let's do that. So let's go Christian Mahogany, and then we'll either go Ricardo Green or Cam Hart in the next pick.
Yeah. Renardo Green here at 88.
Look at that.
Well, you can go receiver here. Brendan Rice. If that interests you, another offensive lineman, Dominic Pooney, if you want to go that route. Eric All.
This is fun. Yes, Eric All could be. I mean, you know, look, I just think, you know, there's a lot of – we could do Brendan Rice as well. Jerry's dad – Jerry's son, you know. I mean, Bucky Irving, TJ says, which I think is a good – which is interesting as well.
Ben Sinnott.
Oh my God! You know I love it. You know, I love a good block with Ben Simmons.
His ADP is 131, which don't get. I think he's going to go higher than that.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think?
Man, there's so many good options on the board. I like right. Let's put it this way. Yeah. See, Ben Sinnott because PFF is broken. Ben Sinnott's going to be on the board on the next pick. Probably most likely. Mm-hmm. And so I would say either Bucky Irving or Brendan Rice. And I'll let you choose between those two. I know you just chose the last guy, but I'm going to let you choose.
Yeah. Oh, man, Bucky Irving is so tough because I love his tape. And then his measurables were awful. He did not have a great combine. He's such a tough guy to – and you see the PFF grades here. He grades out incredibly well. He's a good receiver and a good runner. He's just a little small. You know what? We'll take Bucky Irving. Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
I like him. I like Irving. So Irving at 88. Now we go to 103. Let's see. We got Eric All on the board. Jacob Cowing is here. Tyrone Tracy. Cade Stover. Cam Hart, obviously, still here. Audric Estime. I think that's how you say it. The Notre Dame back. I don't know if you've seen this guy play.
Yeah, a little bit. He's like a bowling ball.
He's probably the closest thing I've seen to an almost like LeGarrette Blount type of running back since he came out. He's a young dude too. Not that they need running back, but
we just took one. But so, I mean, look, I would say here.
Go ahead. Wait, I'm gonna throw another name at you, and that's Cole Bishop. I didn't think he was still on the board. I think he goes way higher than this. Super versatile safety who's mostly a true free safety, and he had a really good combine. He's super athletic, junior, 6'2", 207. Obviously, we got to see what they're going to do at the safety spot. But if you're looking for a free safety, I think Cole Bishop is a guy I like a lot for that role in this draft.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was leaning Ben Sinnott or Jacob Cowing.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jacob Cowing a lot. Yeah, he's just so freaking smooth at wide receiver. Yeah. And so I like the idea of getting another wide receiver.
Yeah.
And going from there. So, but again, I'm down with whatever people want or whatever you would like. But I like, and I mean, you know how much I love Ben Sinnott. So like, I'm cool with either of those. We haven't drafted, of course, Brendan Rice goes 101. Freaking Carolina.
DJ Daniel says if we didn't have Pop, I'd love Cowing. That's exactly my concern. Because like I like Cowing, but like yeah. I just don't
I get it. I don't know if he can play outside. That's the only question.
I'm seeing a lot of Cole Bishop love in the chat, which I was not expecting to see.
Let's do it. Let's do Cole Bishop. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, he's a guy who I mean, I think he goes higher than this in the actual draft. But yeah, Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah, 103. Address that free safety spot. And then a long way down to 137. We got some halfbacks like Will Shipley, Isaac Garendo, Braylon Allen, corner, and Kalen Carson. I know some people like him. Josh
Newman. Yeah,
Christian Boyd here. Theo Johnson still on the board if you want to go tight end. I don't hate that here at all.
Yeah. And again, Theo Johnson's just a guy that, like, he's an athletic freak. And so he doesn't have the numbers, but he just, like, he's a freakish guy. And that's kind of, to be completely honest with you, those are the guys that usually do well, in the league just because of that, you know? Well, let's take a look at wideouts really quick, because I'm just curious as to who's on the board there at wideout. Yeah, a whole bunch of nothing.
This is where it really starts to fall off.
Yeah, I mean, Luke McCaffrey is a guy that I think people like, but again, can he play outside? I don't know. I personally like Casey Washington. I think he's like a good late round guy, but he didn't really do a ton at Illinois. But he is like kind of that. He is, I think, going to be an outside receiver in the NFL. I think we wait and just take Bub Means, I think. But do you feel like he's – because who did we draft already? Which wide receiver did we draft?
Oh, shoot. Totally spacing out now.
We drafted –
Javon Baker.
Javon Baker. So then you wonder, like, is he the same type of player as Javon Baker? You know what I mean? Like, do we want – would you prefer Luke McCaffrey instead of Bub Means? You know what I mean?
I don't even think Bub Means is on their board. I don't see him here.
That's complete insanity.
Yeah. I kind of lean Theo Johnson here personally.
Yeah. So let's do it. Let's do Theo. Cause I'm cool with
Bell
that.
Is still on the board, but yeah. I think we can get him.
But
there.
I think Theo Johnson is bigger. He's insanely athletic. And again, he doesn't have the numbers. It doesn't really matter, though. At that position, the numbers don't really mean anything, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it's tight end is a weird projection. So I think that's one of the few positions where I actually do feel comfortable relying on athleticism and testing scores.
Yeah, yep, agreed.
Yeah.
So, okay. DJ thinks it was a waste of a pick. That's okay.
The fifth round. It's usually a waste of the pick.
And the thing for me is that you're taking a risk, but to me there's a chance that he'll be successful. And if he's the type of guy that is successful, where he's like the freakish athlete and he turns out to be a good player. He may never turn out to be a good player, but he might. So that's the bet you're making. So all right, Jalen Simpson just went at 179, who I like a lot as kind of that deep free safety. Luke McCaffrey goes 176 and plays with his brother in San Francisco. That'd be fun.
That's really fun.
I like Casey Washington. Last week, we drafted Jalen Green out of Old Dominion. Is it Old Dominion? ODU? I think it's Old Dominion. Where he led the nation in sacks, even though he missed the last four games of the season. So I like him, fan of him. I don't know. You want to go? I feel like we should go defense here. We've done a lot of offensive picks. And we only drafted one tackle though, so we could theoretically draft another tackle.
I don't love the tackles here. Like Nehemiah Pritchett, I think is interesting as a cover guy. Also a bigger guy. Plays in a couple different spots. I would lean towards something like that here. You know, the secondary player. Solomon Bird is a little bit interesting. Like the USC defensive guys are all tough because they were coached so poorly. Defensive end here, I think, with some talent, who maybe you can get him to do get him into a better role in the NFL. I've talked a lot about MJ, Devin Shire, Brendan Jackson. You know, we've talked about those names, but I don't know. I like Pritchett. I think we've met with him. I'm not 100% sure.
Let's do it. Why not? Yeah. Let's do it. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's a guy that I haven't taken any of my mocks, so I like it.
Yeah. Back on the board at 193, mostly the same guys. Hunter Norzad is on here. I know you like him.
Yeah. Yeah, center from Penn State. So, again, and it, you know, he's mostly just a center. Tanner Bordellini. It's my God.
I feel like we have to. This is the Tanner Bordellini spot. I feel like we kind of got to do it.
I mean, I feel like you're right. I mean, position flexibility out the yin-yang. Like, come on now, dude. You know, talk about a guy that can play four out of five positions on the offensive line. Like, how could you not want that guy?
Yeah. All right, let's do Bordellini. 193.
Okay. I like it.
That leaves us with one more pick here. And that is pick number 231. Whew, yeah, this is where we're getting into the dregs of the draft.
Oh, hold on. How about Aneem Dankwa from Howard?
Where is it? What position?
He's a tackle. He's a tackle. I just saw him go by his name. He's like the fourth guy on the list right there.
All right.
He's an absolute monster. Look at the size of this guy.
362.
An absolute monster.
Yeah, you know, he's an
older prospect, but like, my goodness, the size on that
guy. Why not? All right, we'll wrap it up with that pick.
All right, I like it.
Yeah. All righty. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about this one. But,
yeah, me too. Yeah. Let's see what they graded as.
Yeah, they give us a B+.
So it's not terrible.
So the final tally trade back, and the Patriots would get, they move from 3 to 12, and they get a third rounder and two future firsts is the way we're doing that.
Yeah.
Olufoshinu at 12, Penix at 41 with another trade back with Green Bay, Javon Baker at 68, Christian Mahogany at 76, Bucky Irving at 88, Cole Bishop at 103, Theo Johnson at 137, and Nehemiah Pritchett at 180, Tanner Bordellini at 193, and Aneem Dankwa at 231.
So there you go. So how about that? Top 83% of the draft. How about that? Dude, who the hell is getting like a C? I guess people could just go and draft stupid things, I suppose. But Christian Mahogany with the old D+. Not great. Not great at pick 76. And I can see it. But I will not accept a D for Tanner Bordellini. At 193.
Yeah,
I will not accept
it. No sense to me.
I will not accept it.
No sense. Yeah. All right. That's our mock. Do we want to look at a couple fan mocks before we wrap this up?
You know what? I feel like we're already at like 120. I would say let's wait on the fan mocks and do them
on Thursday.
We'll do them on Thursday. Yeah. We got a good guest coming on Thursday, which will be nice. And so, you know, I like that. And so we'll go from that. Look at this. Look at people.
People like that one.
People like that one. Hold on. Where is Old Man Mob like the draft? DJ Daniel like the Mahogany pick.
Old Man Mob, I actually like this one. Like, he doesn't like our other ones. What's up, Old Man Mob?
I know.
Acting surprised to like one of our drafts.
DJ Daniel says, that's a pretty good draft. I like it. Oh, Matt Menino asked about what's the mock email. So the mock email, if you make a mock draft, patsnationnetwork@gmail.com. All one word, patsnationnetwork@gmail.com. Okay. So that is the mock. If you have a mock draft, submit it to there, and then and we'll see it and kind of go from there. Okay.
All right.
So, So that's that. That was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good. Yeah. So
I like it. We're almost done. We're 2 weeks away here from being able to talk about guys who are now on the team.
That's right. 10 days, as Thad just pointed out, 10 days until the draft. We're getting there. Slowly but surely getting there. So, it's been fun. I mean, this is fun to do. It is ridiculous. It is kind of silly that we're talking about, you know, these college guys and everything else, but I like the exercise. Like, I'll tell you, it's so interesting because you go through that exercise like we did with Austin last year, and it really changed my last week. I'm sorry. And it really changed my mind about what the Patriots can do. I looked at it and said, man, if I draft a guy at three and don't get any extra picks, just sticking and picking at 34 really limits your options, right? If you don't love, I didn't love any of the guys at 34. Now, what's interesting is that who knows what's going to happen in the actual draft? You know, like there might be four or five or six guys or eight guys that go in the first round that we're like, wait, that guy went in the first round? Are you sure? You know, Xavier Worthy might jump up in the first round. So those are the things that, like, that's interesting to me that, like, who knows who's going to be there? And then we see what happens, you know? So, but this mock was interesting because we were able to trade back twice and still draft a quarterback. And that to me is, you know, that to me is good. And again, I don't know if Michael Penix is going to be the guy, but like, whatever, dude, you'd be able to pick up some extra picks, including some future picks. And so I'll take it, you know?
Yeah.
All right. I like it. So anyways, thanks guys for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for coming through. It's always fun to do this. And thank you. So, but we will talk to you on Thursday night. We have Mike DeBate coming on from Locked In Patriots. So that's going to be fun. Locked always on. Love talking Locked to Mike.
On. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So he's great. So we'll have him on. That'll be a fun show. We'll go through some of those fan mocks. So if you got a few, send them out and send them to us and we'll go from there. But until Thursday, have a great rest of your week. And when we talk to you, we'll be like a week away.
Almost there.
Insane. Almost there. And don't forget, by the way, I'll mention it before we get off. We are going to be live all night long the night of the draft. Thursday night, the night of the draft, we'll be live all night long. Now, we will not be live on the Patriots Unfiltered channel. Okay? We're only going to be live on the PNN channel. Okay? So the Pats Nation Network YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribed there, go over to that Pats Nation Network and subscribe to that on YouTube. We're going to be live all night long. The other CLNS guys are going to be popping in and doing some instant reaction. They'll do a little bit of a pregame show. We might have a pregame show, and we're going to go from there. Thad asked about a hat giveaway. I think we're going to do it again. I think we're going to.
Should we do it?
I think so. I like it. So, and the hats this year are sweet. I might put my name in. I might put my name in there too. So maybe I win it. But no, I think that that's so. Anyways, so we'll be live all night next Thursday night from beginning to end, and probably a little bit earlier than the beginning, all the way to the end. So it'll be a blast. And so we have a ton of guests stopping through, ton of people, Patriots guys and girls. We have other people out here as well. So you know, whomever else is out there and wants to come through, we got a ton of people. So we even have a few extra special guests too. They're going to be stopping by as well, which will be fun. So
it's going to be very fun.
Yeah,
I'll chat for you guys.
So anyways, well, thank you guys again. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you. And no, I'm not going to put my name in there, although I would. That'd be pretty funny, wouldn't that be hilarious if I won the free hat? We just rigged it. All the names just said Pat Lane and it's spinning. It's like, that looks like. So, but anyways, all right. Thanks guys. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you on Thursday night.